Take your Bible, please, and you'll be turning to Psalm 73. Psalm 73, or you can look at the screen this morning. I want to talk about a man today that probably you've never heard of, or maybe you have, who lived a long time ago. His name was Asaph. Asaph is a man who, in Psalm 73, is writing down his struggle that he has with God. Now, he is a believer. He has faith in God. He was a man who, in the book of Psalm, who was really what we would call a music leader. He wrote about five psalms in the book of Psalm. But in this psalm, you see a man who is really, really going through tough times. Psalm 73, what I want to do is just walk through this psalm, and then I want to come back and say some things that will be a benefit to all of us this morning on facing tough times. So let's just look at Psalm 73, and as I read this, just let the word speak to your heart. I mean, get a feel for what this psalm is all about. Verse 1, truly God is good to Israel, to such as are pure in heart. So it begins talking about the goodness of God. To be pure in heart means that he's committed. Doesn't mean that he's a perfect person. Doesn't mean he doesn't have sin or struggles. But to have a pure heart means that he's committed to God. Verse 2, he gets into his struggles. But as for me, my feet had almost stumbled. My steps had nearly slipped. For I was envious of the boastful when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. So he's being honest here about his feelings, his thoughts. For there are no pangs in their death, but their strength is firm. In other words, he's looking at people who don't believe in God, and he's looking at the prosperity of the wicked, and he says, they don't fear death. Doesn't seem that they're afraid to die. So get a feel for what's going on here. Verse 5 said, they are not in trouble as other men, nor are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride serves as their necklace. Violence covers them like a garment. Their eyes bulge with abundance. They have more than a heart could wish. So you see the prosperity there and how they go about doing things. They scoff and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily, so they're oppressing the poor. They set their mouth against the heavens and their tongue walks through the earth. Therefore his people return here, and waters of a full cup are drained by them. And they say, how does God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly. Listen to this. Who are always at ease. They increase in riches, so it seems like they don't have any problems. Here I am living for God. See, that's what he's saying. I'm a music leader. I'm committed to God, and I'm having all these problems and struggles, but I look at them and seem like they don't have any. Verse 13, surely I've cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocent. For all day long I've been plagued and chastened every morning. You know what he's saying there? Is it really worth it to live for God? Is it really worth it to be a Christian? Verse 15, if I had said I will speak thus, behold, I would have been untrue to the generation of children. And now you get into the turning point here. When I thought how to understand this, it was too painful for me. It was too painful for me to give up on God. It was too painful when I thought about walking away from my faith. until I went unto the sanctuary of God. Then I understood therein. So he's in worship now. He's with God's people. The turning point is coming. Surely you set them in simply places. You cast them down to destruction. Oh, how they are brought to the desolation as in a moment. They are utterly consumed with terrors. As a dream, when one always awakes, so, Lord, when you awake, you shall despise their image. Thus my heart was grieved, and I was vexed in my mind. So again, you know, a lot of things going on, what he's thinking, what he's feeling. I was so foolish and ignorant. I was like a beast before you. Nevertheless, I'm continually with you. You hold me up by my right hand. You will guide me with your counsel. Do you see the turnaround here? And afterward, receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is none upon earth that I should desire besides you. My flesh and my heart fail me, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For indeed, those who are far from you shall perish. You have destroyed all those who desert you for idolatry or haltery. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God that I may declare all your works. Asaph, like us, was dealing with some problems. He dealt with two problems. One problem was the prosperity of the wicked. The other problem that he dealt with was concerning those who believe God. He dealt with the problem of the adversity of the righteous. In other words, if I'm a believer and I believe in God, why am I having all these problems? Here's a person who needed to regain his focus. What I want to share with you from this passage today are some things that I think that will be beneficial to all of us when we go through tough times. Some things that we need to remember. I didn't know what the New Sentinel was going to put on the front page this morning, but if you've read it, you'll know what I'm talking about here. But I'd encourage you to read this article. You may be familiar with Gary Christen. You remember his daughter was raped, beaten, and murdered, along with her boyfriend in Knoxville, Tennessee. The thing I remember about Gary Christen during that trial was him sitting on that bench in the courtroom, just rocking back and forth. And you could see the anger in his face. If he could have gotten hold of those people who did that to his daughter, you know, it'd been pretty bad. Here is the story in the Knoxville New Sentinel. The headline, from rage to restitution. And so he's coming back now to his faith. Listen to this. For 10 years, he never talked to the Lord that he had loved all his life. He left God behind after his beautiful, compassionate, smart 21-year-old daughter was carjacked, tortured, raped, beaten, and murdered in January 2007. Then last April, kneeling at his child's grave, surrounded by friends, he asked God for help. God had been waiting. He never left, Christian said. He restored me that day. Here's a 62-year-old dad who was having a struggle. Still having a struggle. I mean, how do you explain that? See, that's one of the rubs of the Bible. We know God is good. We know God is great. Then why do these things happen in life? That's where this man Asaph is. He's the same place where this dad is. If God is good, and God is great, then why is all this stuff going on? You see, there are some things that we'll never find an answer for in the Bible on this side of eternity. There are some things that we will never understand until we get to heaven. There are some things that we just have to trust in a sovereign God to know that He is good. So, what are some things that we can remember? And what are some things that will help us in this psalm? Number one, when we go through tough times, we need to remember what we know about God. Asaph is at a place where he's questioning the goodness of God. If God is really good, why is this happening? He said, I know that God has been good to Israel. We know that God has been good to America, but you know, this week when we move toward September the 11th, we think about what happened on September 11th at the World Trade Centers. If God is good, you know, why do so many innocent people die like they did? And so what he's doing is trying to regain his focus here to remember what he knows about God. And that got him in the direction where he needed to go. Another thing that he remembered here that we need to remember is that we need to be honest with God, with our doubts and questions. God is big enough to handle your question this morning. God is big enough to handle your doubts this morning. At times we all have questions and we all have doubts. And so what he's doing here, he's just being honest. God, I don't understand. I have a problem with this. I don't know why these things are going on. So he's being honest. He's being open about that. And friends, just let me tell you this. There's a difference between doubt and unbelief. At times we all have those doubts. At times we all have those struggles. But that is not unbelief. Here's a man that I read about in the paper this morning who was a believer. He was a Christian. And yet he walked away for 10 years. And it took him 10 years to come back. He had doubts. He had questions. He had those struggles. And you see it here. I mean, that's where Asaph is. He's having all these doubts. He's being honest with God. So what I'm saying today is bring your questions to God. Bring your doubts to God. And lay them at His feet. Another thing we need to remember is this. We need to remember that the struggle is real. This is real life. This right here is real life. Asaph, this is real life. This is where we live. See, I could preach this message every Sunday. Why? Because this is where we live. This is the world that we live in. We don't live in a perfect world. We live in a fallen world. We live in a world of brokenness. We live in a world of trouble. But see, our hope is God. Our faith is in Him. Our trust is in Jesus Christ with our struggles, with all that we go through. And so he's really pouring his heart out to God with all this. And verse 13, you know, he's just saying, you know, I've cleansed my heart in vain. Do you see the struggle there? Why be a Christian? If I'm having the same troubles as people who are not believers and not Christians, if they're seemingly having a better go of it than I am, then what's the use? I tell you what's the use. And I tell you why it's worth it to be a Christian, because of our past, because of our present, and because of our future. And that's where he's going here. Asaph came to that place. Why is it worth it to have faith in God? Because of our past. Our sins are forgiven. We have been saved. We have hope now. Because of our present, he said, God is my help. God is my strength. And then he talked about the future. He talked about heaven. And he talked about eternity. So again, we need to remember this, just like he did. We need to remember the big picture. What is the big picture here? Well, look at it here. Verse 16, he said, I thought how to understand this. And that's where we all are at times. How do you understand this? Too painful for me. Very painful. Until I went to the sanctuary of God. Then I understood therein. In other words, the big picture. What's the big picture? Well, there's eternity. What's the big picture? For those who do not believe in God, for those who never trust in Jesus Christ, eternity for them will be different than for the believer. So that's where he came. So it is worth it to believe. It is worth it to be a Christian in spite of our questions, in spite of our doubt, in spite of the problems. We need to believe. And then remember this. Remember God's goodness. There's a lot of ways that we think about God. But when I think about God, here's what I think about. First of all, I think about His greatness. And I think about His goodness. Where's God's goodness here in His trouble? Where's God's goodness here with the questions? Well, verse 23, you hold me by your right hand. Verse 24, you guide me. Afterward, receive me into glory. That's God. That's the answer. Verse 26, God is the strength of my heart. I was reading this week about Martin Luther, and I came across this quote. Here's what Martin Luther said. He said, even if I know that tomorrow the world would go to pieces, I would still plant my little apple tree and pay my debts. Now what's he saying? Here's what he's saying. No matter what happens tomorrow, he was saying, I'm going to be right. I'm going to do right. And I'm going to live right. The world may go to pieces. I may have trouble. I may have questions. I may have doubts. But I'm going to still trust in God. Now, as we bring this to a conclusion this morning, I want you to think about this. We all have trouble, we all have problems, we all have these hard places in life. We all do. I mean, this is where it is. When I think about this, though, here's where it brings me. It brings me to the foot of the cross. I think about times, you know, why, Lord, is this happening? Why am I facing this in my life? And when I come to the cross, you know what the question is then? Lord, why did you do that for me? Why did your son suffer? Why was your son beaten? Why did your son go to the cross? Why Did you do that? And the answer comes back this way. Because I love you. Someone has said it this way. Never forget in the darkness and the trouble what God has revealed to you in the light. There's a verse in Isaiah that I want to share with you, and then I'll close. Listen to it from Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 43. That's where we'll read from. And listen to verse 2. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. No matter how deep the water gets in your life, you won't drown. No matter how hot the fire gets, you'll be like the three Hebrew children who came out of that fiery furnace. God will be with you. My heart today is simply this. Wherever you are, whatever the struggle is, bring it to the foot of the cross. Whatever your questions are, whatever your doubts are, whatever it is, bring it to the foot of the cross and say, Lord, I cast it on you. Today, I really thought about the tone of this message. I thought about, well, really, what can I say from this? Because this passage had been on my mind and heart for a long time. And I know in a service like this, all the questions aren't answered. I understand that. And I know that. I know the struggle's still there and the pain's still there and all that. But I do believe this. I believe we have a God who loves us. We have a God who cares for us. We have a God of goodness. And we have a God of greatness. And He knows, and He understands, and He cares. That's my message this morning. Let's stand, please, for our prayer. Father, we thank You for Your Word today. We thank You for the encouragement that we find in Your Word. As we think about this psalm today, we all have been there. We all understand the struggle of this man that we talked about today. But Lord, here's what we're reminded of. Just like Asaph, just like Gary Christian that I talked about this morning from the New Sentinel, You are always where You have been. At times we may have doubts, we may have questions, at times we may even walk away. But Lord, we know that when we come back, that You're always where You've always been. You're always there. As the Bible says, You never change. You love us with our questions. You love us with our doubts. You love us in times of uncertainty. You love us in our times of struggle. You love us when we're on the mountaintop. God, we just thank You for that. Lord, it's my prayer today that people would find encouragement in You. It's my prayer today that when we find those slippery places in life, that we would look to you. When it seems like the water's about to go over our head, we would look to you. When it seems like the fire is getting hotter and hotter, we would look to you. Lord, today we pray that we would bring all that's on our heart today to the foot of the cross. I pray today that you would minister to our hearts. I pray today that you would do your will in each and every life this morning. With our brokenness, with our struggle, with our pain, God, we need your help. In your name we pray. Amen.